We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
From Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to the Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. How many are glad that they started preaching to the Gentiles? The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. It goes on to say, when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he had arrived, he saw the evidence of God's blessing. He was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. He saw the evidence of God's blessing. When Barnabas went on to Tarsus and looked for Saul, when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds. It was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. We have lots of titles today. We have titles of our job. We have titles in our family. We have titles in, you know, in the world that are basically, you get your title by what you do, right? Not by necessarily what you think, not by what you plan to do, but by what you do. These people were called Christians after they had heard and been taught the word of God. And there had to be something that changed them inside, right? It wasn't just that they heard the word of God, but they started doing it, right? It says, the evidence of God's blessing, he was filled with joy. He encouraged the believers to stay true to the word of God. How can you stay somewhere you've never been? Right? So they were true to the word of God. They were living out the word of God. And so they were called Christians by the people outside of them. They were saying, there's something about them that's different. And they got the title of Christians. If I lived in Antioch, what would they call me? What do people call me when they look at me? What title fits? There's probably lots of different titles that fit. For me, hopefully, daddy fits, right? For my children. Hopefully they relate to me like that because I protect them, I love them, I provide for them. You know, hopefully the title reliable or trustworthy are things, you know, that I would like to have title. But Christian, do I have that title because of how I act? Am I the only person calling me a Christian? If you ask someone who only kind of knows you, how would they describe you as a Christian? You'll quickly find who's calling you a Christian. Because really, this title comes because of how I act, because of how I live my life, because of the things that I do. Not the things that I intend to do, not the things that I hope to do someday, not the things that I aspire to necessarily, but the things that I'm doing. These people were called Christians because they were acting like Christ. And the people around them said, they're acting like that guy Jesus that we heard about. They're Christians. What would they call me? And if I'm the only one calling me a Christian, I think that I have something that I need to look at. When you look up the word Christian in the dictionary, it starts off, it says, a person who believes in Jesus, an adherent of Christianity. And, okay, we can start there. Because if you don't believe that Jesus is who he says he is, why are you going to act like him, right? Why are you going to trust in him? If he's not who he says he is, what's the point? But it doesn't stop there. Our salvation happens in a moment and then is worked out throughout our lifetime. As we continue to be more and more like Jesus, as we're being led by the Holy Spirit, as being led by the Word of God, as we're letting that thing transform us and let us become new and new every day, every morning we wake up and we decide, all right, I'm going to act like Jesus. How much better would our days be if we just continually thought, I'm going to act like Jesus? And have that become just the way that we go about so that we can be encouraged. Don't give up on those things that you are doing. Continue in them. Man, how great would that be? You know, I don't believe that the people in Antioch there would have been called Christians if they hadn't have continued to do what Jesus had them called to do. The Christian definition, it goes on to say this, a person who exemplifies in his life the teachings of Jesus. I was, okay, there we go. Is my life exemplifying the teachings of Jesus? Am I applying what I've learned? Or am I just hoarding up all this knowledge to maybe use someday when everything is just right? Because let me tell you, it's never going to be just right. Right? But it's amazing how when we start to apply what we've learned and start to do it, how much easier it is to do. You know, it's hard to start things sometimes, but I found when you're doing it, it becomes so much easier, and you're going to want to do it more. And especially when you're getting benefits from that thing that you're doing. A life with Jesus, it should change. It should change us. We should act differently. We should be motivated to do different things. As a Christian, my belief, it urges me to exemplify the teachings of Jesus in my actions, in what I do, in those that I help, right? Who are you helping? Are you helping those who, you know, can return the favor all the time? Or are you helping those who have no means of repaying? Right? Who are you? Who has Jesus called us to go out and to help? Are we using the gifts that God has placed inside of us for the benefit of others? Or are we using the gifts that God placed inside of us just for the benefit of ourselves? We need to use those gifts because he gave us those gifts so that people can come to know him and that people can be blessed through the things that God has given us. Acting like Jesus acted, doing good when you come into the situation. Hopefully those things define me. Hopefully they cause me to be a Christian, to be called a Christian by those looking outside of me. The Christian title, it shouldn't just be something we give to ourselves. It should be something others give to us because of the life-changing encounters that we've had with Jesus and the resulting actions. Encounters, not encounter. We need to encounter and have encounters with Jesus continually every day. If we're not experiencing that, we're going to die out really quick. But when we get an encounter with Jesus, it just propels us to go all that next step forward. It just causes us to change all that next step, all that more, that much more. And when we walk with Jesus, man, our lives are different, and we're called Christians. So I want to give you 7 ways we can be like Jesus here tonight, found in John chapter 13, in verses 1 through 17. It says this, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, he should depart and the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The supper being ended, the devil already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing the Father, had given all things into his hand, and he had come to God and was going to God. The first thing here, now he loved them to the end. Number one here, God loves to the end. And love those God has given you to the end. We need to continue to love the people that God has given us in our lives. You know, however long it takes, we need to continue loving them. Because God never gives up on us, so we should never give up on the other people. We need to continue with the ones that God has given us, with the ones that he's put on our heart. We need to continue to pray for them. We need to continue to encourage them. We need to continue to be there for them, even though when you don't have anything to say, just be there. You know, just love them the way that Jesus loved you. We need to be like Jesus. He loved those people to the end. We need to love them to the end. Number two, we need to be sure to prepare yourself for the task, whatever it is. It says here in verse 4, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into the basin. He got ready. He was going to wash the disciples' feet here. So he was getting himself ready. We need to get ourselves ready for what God has called us to do. We need to be prepared. We need to take the steps that we need to on the front end so that we can be ready on the back end to go forward and to do what the plan was, right? Jesus, he girded himself. He got ready. He put the water in the basement. Sometimes it takes some work to do stuff. Sometimes it actually, you know, we have to do something. It's not just like, oh, God, I'm going to show up, and you're going to show up, and we're going to show up, and it's going to be great. And he's like, well, did you bring the food for the dinner? You mean you weren't going to just give me manna from heaven? Right? You know, sometimes it takes some preparation. You know, Jesus prepared. He got ready for what he was going to do. Then it says, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Number three, once you are prepared, take action. We need to do it. We need to prepare, and then we need to do it. Sometimes we get stuck in this, we're preparing on the opposite side. There's some people who don't prepare, and there's some people who just keep preparing. And it's like, all right, let's get to it. Right? Let's do this thing. It's enough preparing. You're good. You know, you're not gonna get any better than that. Right? No matter how much time, let's just do it. Right? There comes a time for the doing. And Jesus actually took action, and he did what he set out to do. There should be action that takes place in our lives. Number four here, don't let people's uninformed reactions stop you. In verses 6 through 8, it says here, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what are you doing? You do not understand. What I'm doing, you do not understand, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Peter, he was a crazy cat, man. Can you imagine after everything that Jesus did, you're that bold to be like, nah, Jesus, what? No. But sometimes our actions do that, even though our words don't say that. But Jesus didn't let his uninformed opinion. He didn't know what was happening. So he just didn't understand. Sometimes we'll come in contact with people who don't understand. We can't let those people stop us just because they don't understand in the moment. We need to continue to do that thing that God has called us to do. Peter didn't understand, but Jesus didn't let that stop him. We can't let the uninformed opinions and reactions of others stop us. Verse 10, skipping down, it says, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed, because Peter's like, okay, then do it all. He kind of overreacted there. But then Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. We can't let our good actions be used in the wrong purposes. Okay? I'm going to read that again because I'm going to read my notes because it's going to sound better. Don't allow people to use your good actions for purposes that they're not intended for. That's the fifth point here tonight. Peter was like, Jesus, okay, then do all this. And Jesus was like, no, I'm doing what I'm doing for a purpose, right? When we are called to do something, if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to do what we're called to do for that purpose. And we can't allow us to be pulled to one side or another because somebody's like, oh, yeah, do that thing over here. A lot of that comes with your gifts because God will give you a gift for a certain purpose, and somebody will be like, hey, you can use that over here. A lot of times it happens in the world, you know, with these things that the world sees as good. And they'll be like, go use your gift over here. And then all of a sudden you're using it over there and you're not using it over here, which is what God intended you to use it for in the first place. And then you're wondering why isn't it going great? This used to go so much better when I was doing it over there. I thought if I just brought it over here. No, God gifted you to do that thing over here. So when you do go back into under his covering and do it over here, wow, it starts working again, just like it did before you went over here. You know, it's not rocket science, right? We need to use our gifts in the places that we're called to use them, and we don't allow others to pull us away from that thing. Number six here, once you are finished with the task, there is a teaching moment. Verses 12 through 16 talks about how Jesus then went through and talks about what he had just did. And when we're doing things, when we're called to given a mission and we do it, a lot of times when we're done, there's a teachable moment at that point where we can explain why we were doing what we did. And because of that, we can see blessing that comes from that. And that's point seven here. The blessing comes in the doing. In verse 17, it says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's not enough to know what's in the Word of God. We need to apply it to our lives. It's not enough just to come to church and to raise our hands. That's good. We need to do that. We need to praise God. But then we need to apply those things in our lives and actually do them so that, you know, people can come to know him, so that we can be better because we're doing them. If you don't use something, it's just going to get rusty and sit there, and then it's going to get solid. And when you know how when you haven't used anything, it's just all tight? But then you start to use it, and it starts to loosen up, right? We need to use the things that God has given us. So if it's hard for you to do those things, let me challenge you, you're not doing them enough. Tightness shouldn't make you stop. It should make you push through, and then you loosen up, and then you can be more applied in it. I'm going to give you one more scripture here tonight. If you could turn to James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, it says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. If you are listening to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You look at yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Doing it is so important. Doing it is so crucial to fulfilling what God has called you to do. Yeah, it's just fundamental. And we're only fooling ourselves if we're just listening to the word and not applying it to our lives. You know, I understand we're Connect United. We're the double churchers. We're the two times a week, right? So I just want to encourage you, continue to do the things that God has called you to do. Continue to be the people he's called you to be. Because when we do that, we affect people around us. The ones we may not even understand. The ones we might not even know were looking at us, but they were. And because of our action, because we're doing good things, because we practice what we preach, because we follow through with what we say, man, people are going to look at us and, man, it's going to be glory to the Father because we are being obedient to what he says. So I hope you got something out of that tonight. We're just going to close right up here. I want to pray.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.